Okay, just real quick, we have no personal financial relationship with the commercial interest relevant to this presentation. Okay, perfect. Okay, according to the literature, fatal drownings remain the second leading cause of unintentional injury-related deaths for children under the age of 14 in the United States, second only to accidents. Now, according to the CDC, in 2004, for every child 14 years and younger who died from drowning, 5 received emergency department care for non-fatal submersions, and half of these were hospitalized. Now, the issue is such that it warranted a citation in Healthy People 2010, in which they established a goal of 1 drowning per 100,000 population. Now, if you look at the CDC statistic here for 2005, you can see that the age-adjusted rate is at 1.31. It doesn't look quite significant, but when you look at it in terms of numbers, it's at 810. And when you're speaking about a very preventable form of death, even one child lost to drowning is very significant. Now, our target population were parents and guardians of Delmon Heights Head Start in San Bernardino, and also the children that attended the Head Start. The Delmon Heights demographics consists mostly of Hispanics, whites, and then blacks. However, we would like to note, after working intimately with this population, that though the census stated that the Hispanic population is around 51%, we feel that is actually much higher due to undocumented individuals or immigrants that live with family members in this community. And this community center is kind of situated in the center of Delmon Heights. Now, the children themselves are also very representative of the community. Again, a majority of these individuals, these children are Hispanic, followed by blacks and then whites. Now, in order to assess their knowledge, their attitudes, and biases towards water safety, we went ahead and did an extensive needs assessment. We did a literature review. We did 4 separate windshield surveys to determine the strengths and barriers of the community. We also did focus groups that included 10 participants and 8 key informant interviews, which consisted of either professionals or a range from parents to grandparents. After analyzing this qualitative data, we found that emerging themes started to arise. First of all, there was a great deal of misconceptions about water safety. A lot of the individuals did not perceive any form of risk because, as most stated, we do not have pools at our homes. So they associated water dangers with drowning in pools only. Also, a majority of the individuals did feel very unsure on how to handle an emergency should one arise, and all of them stated that they would love to have some kind of training in CPR and first aid. So we decided as a group to go ahead and create a 4-part intervention plan. The first part would consist of being able to determine hazards within the home, and then the second part either reducing these hazards or completely eliminating them. The third part was going to target the children and teaching them about 911 and the proper behavior in and around water. And then the fourth lesson would be basically a crash course in first aid and CPR. So our target audience first started with 9 individuals. It was very diverse. We had individuals that only spoke Spanish, others only English, and then a few that were bilingual. And their age ranges also were very wide, from 20 to 50, and the relationship to the children in the Head Start also varied, from parents to grandparents or even just guardians. So we started the first lesson by administering a pre-test. It was around 7 questions long, and they were basically fact-based questions. And then we followed this with a PowerPoint presentation in which we gave them more statistics, more facts about water safety, and then we would show them pictures of different home environments, which included, like, for example, pictures of the restroom or pictures of the kitchen and even outside. This then was followed with a post-test that had either the same or very similar questions, but arranged in a different order. And we also had process evaluation questions to determine if there was anything they would like to see in this program if it is ever implemented again. The second lesson was much more hands-on. Again, we started with a pretest, and then afterwards we played a little game in which we had a giant box and we asked each participant to please remove an item from the box and to explain how that item was related to water safety. For example, we had a cell phone, or we had eyeglasses or sunglasses, and one participant removed sunglasses and she stated that the sunglasses told her that she needed to always keep an eye on her child if he was ever near or in water. Then we closed the session with a post-test, again very similar in structure, similar questions, just arranged in a different order, and a process evaluation. The third lesson was for our children. The lesson started with a pretest. Now, around this age, you know that they're not quite reading it. So what we'd had were pictures, and we would ask them to please circle the correct picture. So as you can see, here's an example. We asked them, what is the appropriate thing to do in around water? Is it okay to chew gum? Is it okay to jump in or swim with a buddy? And then they would circle what they felt was the correct answer. The lesson then continued with us reading a book entitled Stewie the Duck Learns to Swim. This duck was created by parents who had lost their child in a drowning incident at home. Following reading the story, we had an open discussion and we asked the children to tell us what they learned from Stewie, what were some safety things to do around water and what not to do, and then we had a post-test afterwards. The fourth lesson, which took place then a week later on the 20th, was also, it was basically a crash course in first aid. We started off with a PowerPoint presentation, learning about various types of head injuries, and we showed them what to look for in terms of signs and symptoms, and how to respond appropriately. Then this followed with a CPR lessons for adult, children, and infant. And then we went ahead and we also had a hands-on Heimlich maneuver session. And the whole time we were doing this session, it was very open in terms of communication. We had an answer question session. We had the parents participating. We had a participant coming up and letting us practice the Heimlich maneuver on him. So it was a very open, very well done, at least in terms of participation program. Now, after we collected all the data for the pretest and post-test, we analyzed it and we got a little bit of a surprise. We found that the pretest were higher in scores than the post-test, which does not do much for our egos in terms of teaching this information. So we sat down together and we tried to figure out what could have gone wrong in terms of having a slight drop in scores for both sessions. Several theories came up. First of all, we felt there may have been survey fatigue, not so much in the length of the questions, because again, depending on the session, it was either 7 questions long or 11 questions long. But we felt that what may have happened is that the reading level for the questions may have been a little too high for them. We had it around a 5th and 6th grade level. We now suspect that it may have been best if we had dropped it down to around a 3rd and 4th grade level, because when you translate from English to Spanish, sometimes it can kind of go up in grading in terms of readability. So that may have been a cause for the drop in score. Also, we felt that the desire to complete the survey so that they could begin the raffle, which we had decided to go ahead and have in order to encourage individuals to attend our programs, they may have just wanted to go ahead and participate in the raffle and they just wanted to get the test done right away. Also, maybe changing the order of the questions may have confused them. We don't know that, or because we had quite a bit of questions that were just kind of skipped over. So those are possible explanations as to the drop in scores from pre to post test. Now, as for the children's results, we found that the information that the children's results gave could not be used due to two factors. First of all, we had extremely helpful teachers and children that love to share. Let me explain briefly what happened. When we went and did this session, it was a total of 4 classes, and we divided it into 2 different sessions that would occur back to back. Now, when we distributed the pretest, the teachers, which are wonderful and love to help out, started to kind of guide the children towards the correct answer. And then kids, when they get together, when they want to share, they really share. So that included That included sharing the correct answers, so unfortunately we could not use the data. When we went to the second session for the next two classes, again, it was a very similar environment, and we felt that the results that were produced, we could not really analyze. So we'd like to state that even though we could not use the pre and post test, visually we found that our students did learn from the information. They gave correct answers when we asked the questions, and they seemed to know the appropriate thing to do if there's ever an emergency. Okay, thank you. Okay. From the information that our participants provided, we learned that our participants felt very confident in being able to deal with an emergency should it arise. They loved the first aid CPR classes that we gave, so it kind of gave them a new built confidence. Also, they stated that they enjoyed the hands-on activity. They found it very entertaining and also very educational, so they would love to see more types of activities if we would ever implement a program like that again or a very similar one. They also enjoyed the grab bag lesson and just props, very interactive. There we go. As for us program planners, we learned quite a bit too. We learned that when we're administering pre and post tests to children very young, that it's very important that we clarify to our participating adults that even though it's tempting, they should not give the answers to the children. They can read the question, but they cannot guide them. Let them kind of come up with it by themselves. Also, when you're working with an immigrant population, it's important to consider giving a readability test at around a third and fourth grade level to increase the likelihood that translation is also reduced and that we will be able to meet their needs. Also, we found that hands-on learning is the best. It tends to solidify concepts that are given. And we also learned that by keeping an open mind, not only are we sharing, we're gaining from them. Thank you.